how the reality changes. And people who were there before are not there. And then it's like, then it's people I've never seen before that are there. And that's what keeps me doing this all the time, because I always see it actually physically work out in my experience. So I knew when I came here tonight that there was going to be a difference in the group. And I was curious as to who was going to actually show up or be here. Because sometimes when you make those changes, you don't always know who shifted with you. You know, so we shifted together, you know, and then I had to study for, you know, 25 years to get to the point that I was on a level of consciousness where Bessie could show up, you know, and so it's like you know what I'm saying, like you never know, you know, what's getting ready to happen. It's like everything's moving so fast. So I'm going to be on page 687 in the course, and what you want to do is, you want to 87. What you want to do is you want to listen for your message. It might just be a sentence, it might be a phrase, it might be a word, but it would be exactly the answer that you need to hear for something that's happening in your experience right now. So it's not about trying to understand everything that I say, but just be on the lookout for what hits you that you know that's why I showed up. That was what I needed to hear. And the section that we're covering from the course is called Time and Eternity. And we left off at paragraph 5 on page 87. Now the course is basically saying there's two parts to our mind. One part of our mind operates from fear, one part of our mind operates from love. And that there are two distinct realities that you experience depending on which one of those parts of your mind that you're using. With me on that. So what it does is it tells you how the fearful part of the mind operates so that you can recognize it and try not to give into it and not make yourself afraid, or be able to tell when you're in the presence of love and when you're not in the presence of love. Because if we be honest with ourselves, you know, most of the things that we've gone through that's caused us any kind of pain was just because of our unawareness. Had we been more aware of what was happening, we wouldn't have probably gone through that situation. So the course is trying to teach us the difference between awareness and unawareness. And in this particular paragraph, it's quoting some verses from the Bible in terms of verses that have been interpreted in fearful ways, that there's an entirely loving way to look at that exact same thing. Because it says that some people look at Scripture from the perspective of fear, and then other ones see it from the perspective of love. And so you get two different interpretations of it. Okay? So what I want to do, I want to get through this part pretty quick, because I really want to get to the section that's called Decision for God, which is awesome, Decision for Love. So let me see if I can test and get a battery that works. So whenever it talks about the ego, it's just talking about the part of our mind that tends to get freaked out, the part that tends to get a little bit afraid. Is there anybody that's in here beside me that's absolutely ready for another level of consciousness and another level of love and expression? Are we on the same page here? Okay. And is there anybody in here that's willing to admit that what they know may not be all there is to know? Is there anybody here be that bold?
Yeah.
And to admit that they may not know everything.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. We're going to have some fun. Let me go ahead and get this going. He says, there are many examples of how the ego's interpretations are misleading, but a few will suffice to show how the Holy Spirit can reinterpret the fearful mind's interpretations in its own light. In other words, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. The Holy Spirit, or your loving mind, interprets it to mean that what you consider worth cultivating, you will cultivate in yourself. So as ye sow, so shall ye reap actually means what you consider worth cultivating, you'll cultivate it in yourself. Your judgment of what is worthy makes it worthy for you. These are universal laws. Your judgment of what is worthy makes it worthy for you. So, as ye sow, so shall ye reap means whatever you consider worth cultivating, the first place person you ought to cultivate it in is yourself. Whatever the quality is that I want, the first person I should try to cultivate that quality in is myself.
Yeah.
Have you ever been one of these people that was going to love people after they love you first?
Sure.
As soon as they love you, then you're going to give it up, you know.
That's how it's supposed to be.
You know. Yeah, that's the way you make sure you never had it.
That's true.
You know, if you are it, you'll attract it. You have to be it to have it. So I really want to be it. I want to be it so I can have it. So I'm trying to cultivate love in me because I think that's what's worth cultivating. My judgment of it is what makes it worthy for me. Then he gives us another example. He says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." That's another verse in the Bible. He says it's easily reinterpreted if you remember that ideas increase only by being shared. The statement emphasizes that vengeance can't be shared. So give vengeance to the Holy Spirit who will undo the idea of vengeance in you because the idea of vengeance does not belong in your mind,
Wow. Which
is part of God. The idea of vengeance doesn't belong in a loving mind. So I need to give the idea of vengeance to the part of my mind that knows how to undo the idea of vengeance because it doesn't belong in my mind, because if it's in my mind, I can create it in my physical reality. Here's another statement out of the Bible that I didn't like very much. It's, "I will visit the sins of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation." That sounds pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
As interpreted by the ego, it's particularly vicious. It merely becomes an attempt to guarantee fear's own survival. Of course, if I'm gonna be punished, and my children are gonna be punished, and their children are gonna be punished, that's a lot of fear that's being extended for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to the Holy Spirit, when you hear the statement, "I will visit the sins of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation," he said the statement means that in later generations, Holy Spirit can still reinterpret what former generations have misunderstood, and thus release the thoughts from the ability to produce fear. So that means that it doesn't matter. Every generation will continue to get an opportunity to understand the truth that the other generations didn't understand. We'll keep on getting opportunities to become more and more loving and more sane with each other. So that's cool.
That's good news.
It said the wicked shall perish. Becomes a statement of atonement if the word perish is understood as to be undone. In other words, every loveless thought must be undone. Undone is a word the ego, a fearful mind, cannot even understand. To the ego, to a frightened mind, to be undone means to be destroyed. Your ego will not be destroyed. Your ego will not be destroyed because your ego is part of your thought, but because your ego, or fearful mind, is uncreative and therefore unsharing, your fearful mind, your ego, will be reinterpreted to release you from fear. So everything about your fearful mind will be reinterpreted to release you from fear. So that means the part of your mind that you've given to fear will merely return to the kingdom, which is love, where your whole mind belongs. So the fearful part of my mind is now being returned to love. That's the whole process. This fearful part of the mind is being returned to love because your whole mind belongs in love. Your whole mind belongs in peace. So the part of your mind that's not in peace is being returned to the part of your mind that is in peace, because every part of us deserves to be in peace. That sounds cool. He said you can delay the completion of the kingdom, you can delay the completion of the peace, but you cannot introduce the concept of fear into love, which is reality. You can delay the completion of the kingdom or the love in you, you can delay receiving the love that you deserve to receive, but you really cannot introduce the concept of fear into love. If it's real love, there is no fear in it. That's what the book says. We don't have to agree with that, but if it's real love, it says there's no fear in it. If it's real love, there's no attack in it. If it's real love, you're 100% safe all the time. And that's the kind I want.
Mm.
I don't want that other kind. I'm tired of that stuff.
And that real love changes.
The real love changes. The real love changes is not real love. Okay. By definition, if it changed, it wasn't the real deal. Which is good, because if it's not love, then that means it can change into love. So what's not love can change. And that's great. And what is love can't change. That's a good deal to me. You know, I'm glad that if I'm in a fearful, negative, lax state of mind or consciousness, that because that's not love, then I know it can change for the better. So there's no situation that can't change for the better because nothing but love is real. So if it is not love, it's not real. Okay, now, did anybody hear any statement that kind of leaped out at them? That was kind of like, poof, that was my statement that I needed to hear.
I guess I was kind of disappointed when I realized that ego can't be destroyed, because I think I've got this idea that I'm going to just whack my ego all pieces and it's going to be gone, it's going to be gone. But it really could change it.
Yeah, the ego, which is the fearful part of the mind, is going to be changed into love.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, I love the idea that my ignorance will be ended in knowledge, or that my lack ends in abundance, or that my fear ends in love. To me, that's cool.
It is.
That the end of my fear is love. The end of my sadness is joy. That is the end of my sadness.
Because it will change.
Because now the sadness is gone.
I missed what former generations had misunderstood about because I'm a Bible thumper, I'm from the South, and it's really refreshing to see this, Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so discombobulated with this change of thought. Because, I've been recovered for 20 years from a CrossFit program, and my son's got 6 years, and to see, I don't even remember telling him, I was the first generation to break the cycle, and you're the second one, it's up to you, but you choose, I was carrying it, and I felt kind of sick about this, but I felt good.
Now it's good to know the later generations can
read. Yeah. From that teaching.
Yeah. We're just simply being moved from a teaching of fear to a teaching of love.
Right.
We're just simply being moved from a teaching of guilt to a teaching of innocence.
Right.
But what we don't get is that this whole world is pretty much based on fear thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got a bunch of people together that's afraid, there's bound to be distortions, attack, misperception, sickness. All the stuff that we're going through is nothing but a lack of love. But I also need to get an understanding of how a loving man operates so I can be one, and also recognize when I'm walking up on one, because I need to recognize love, because obviously I haven't been too good at it. Because sometimes I've experienced something other than that. And I would love to have it all the time. And so there's a way for me to see in a loving way that will then produce a loving world for me, then that's worthwhile. That's what I'm working on. I'm not really that interested anymore in how I got into one that I'm trying to change. I'd much rather now put all my energy into the solution. I think you just need to recognize the problem just long enough to recognize it needs to be solved and not get lost off at the problem and give a little more energy than you get a solution, which is the way that the fearful mind operates. It has endless patience for analyzing its problems, but doesn't have very much commitment to the answer.
Yeah.
And so I want to join with some people that want love all the time, want to be safe all the time, want what's real all the time, want some honesty all the time, want some freedom all the time, and certainly don't want grievances all the time. That's who I'd like to meet. That's where I'm coming from. Anybody else coming from that in the room? Anybody in the room want peace? Anybody else in the room want peace? All right. Okay, it's not mind control because somebody is asking you if you want to be happy. Okay, it's not a cult because I say you deserve to be happy. Okay, so that's cool. Anybody else happen to see anything on any of that, that impacted them in any way? I have any questions about anything that I said in this paragraph?
Is that part about give your vengeance to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That really hit with me because I've had some problems with some people I just can't get over, the situations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's even with myself. I avenge myself. And that I get to a certain point where I think I'm understanding some of this, try to have forgiveness and get to a point of being loving. But then I get to there and I go, no, I'm just being selfish again or something. It's like the ego keeps telling me, no, you're not there, keeps saying, no, you're not good enough, or it's not right. Or, and then I get scared because I'm afraid I'm never going to know what this real love is. And then I get afraid because I think I don't even know if I've ever felt it. You know? And if it's like, am I, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I've ever known that real love and real peace, just to be honest. I know I've been peaceful, I've been quiet, I've been still. But to get to that point in your life, you know, where you think you're getting peaceful or something, or loving, because it seems like I always screw it up. My ego just gets right in there and just, you know.
We don't know what you're talking about. You know, none of us have felt anything other than just complete peace and joy at all times. What is she talking about? What is, how do you know, sometimes tripping up? What you talking about?
Yeah.
Your doubts are going to come and go and go to come again. That's a natural, that's very natural and spiritual in waking up to who you really are, is that you're going to have those doubts. And as soon as you have tolerance for those doubts, the Course says then those doubts won't stop you because you're not giving them any power. So it actually says just the opposite from what we've been taught, is that when you have tolerance for your weakness, then your weakness won't have no power over you. Because you just admit, hey, that's the way I feel, and then you keep on going. And you won't let it stop you. But if you set it up where you can't have any feelings of doubt, then you spend all your time getting upset with yourself for having them. And that, right, that's what I'm sharing, is have tolerance for your doubt, because it's natural if you're going from fear to love to have some doubt, because a fearful mind is a mind that has some doubts about its safety. So don't get upset with yourself for having a natural reaction to having some fear in your mind. You see what I'm saying? Just keep on headed toward the goal, which is love. Because the Course teaches that your goal will create the circumstances that allow you to manifest the goal. That you're focusing on what you really want will create the situation, circumstances, and people that would help you accomplish that. But your desire for the goal has got to be strong enough to pull you past any obstacles that come up. Because if your desire is strong enough, you'll keep going past an obstacle, and you won't let an obstacle stop you. So that's why I keep suggesting that about just keep that goal of you having total fulfillment and total peace in your mind, because your desire for peace will keep pulling you past into these situations that keep you in conflict. And know it's okay, and those doubts are going to come up. Just what you described, they're going to come up. But to me, being spiritually enlightened is about being tolerant with yourself, not about you never having those thoughts. Because if you're already on that level of consciousness, it wouldn't be in the need for us to be here trying to work on our minds to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The reason why you can't lose is because there was a part of God, and a part that loves you, the Course says, that created you, that has assigned a part of itself the job of bringing you back to the awareness of how beautiful you are. Wow. And that mission is not going to fail because it was God that's behind it. So it don't really have nothing to do with whether or not you think you deserve it. You are going to receive what you deserve, whether you think you deserve it or not. And you were created by love, so you're going to ultimately have peace. And you're going to ultimately have your mind healed. See, just to hear it sitting in front of somebody saying something like that to you means some part of you must really be cool to have even created me saying it for you to hear. So that's why you already know there's a part of you that loves you, because you hearing this come out of my mouth to you, it was something about your consciousness that drew it to you. And yeah, because I don't care how anybody, whether or not anybody else in the room thinks I'm sincere, I know I am. So I know that all I want for you and all I want for me is love and peace. So that's how you know some part of you must really want it, because I'm witnessing to it. And there's some parts of you that's also witnessing that you don't deserve it. We always got them people too. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say something. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books is A Christian Secret to a Happy Life. And it's a common thought among lots of things of using your willpower and not really trusting your emotions, because they can swarm around and change just as the wind changes directions. And oftentimes when you do have a strange emotion come up and you don't know why, it's you just don't really pay attention to it and just use your willpower and say, God loves me no matter what, and just put all your energy towards what you think is best. Mm-hmm. Kind of like just the books just says, say thy will be done constantly, or just surrender completely. It, in essence, it's just, you're not even thinking about it or paying attention to seeing like, God loves me, everything's fine, he's planning out everything, and everything's going to be fine. And honestly, it's been the most powerful thing for me, because less thinking, mm-hmm. you can trip yourself up so easily.
Yeah. And to add to what she said, and if you're going to think, then there are ways that you can think that will bring you more in touch with the truth about yourself, and there are ways that you can think that can take you more into the fear. So that no matter which angle you take, whether you take the emotional angle, whether you take the mental angle, if your goal is love, if your goal is truth, then the truth is going to reach you in a way that's best for you based on where you are. And that's why I love the idea that we're all on our own individual path, having our own individual curriculum. And then the separation and upset comes when everybody judges each other's way. And so then it becomes, if you don't do it my way, then you've lost. You know what I'm saying? The goal is the same, but all of us have our own individual way that we're being guided to it by the higher power. And one of the first ways to do it, according to what this session is saying, is by reinterpreting things that you're using to make you feel afraid, to learn how to look at those things in a way that you can still keep your peace and stay in touch with your inner guidance, because we're always getting inner guidance, but we're not listening to it when we're afraid. You know. So, again, whatever you hear me say, whatever you hear the Course in Miracles say, don't put that before the feelings and the thoughts and emotions of your own being. That's why I said that about take away from this what it is that resonates for you, and then whatever doesn't resonate for you, let it go. It's not important, because ultimately, it's the relationship between you and the Creator that you have, and everything else is just a way to help us support that. And that's all the Course is. It's just another way. It's not the only way, but it's another way to look at it.
Girl, will you help me out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through a breakup now, so how do I use that to remind me of peace?
Have you asked, since you've been on a spiritual path, have you asked God's will to be done? Have you asked
yes.
for spirit to be in charge?
Yes.
Okay. If you were to remember that, then it would help you realize that this breakup is for your own best interest, and it is moving you toward what you really deserve, even though you might have to deal with the feelings that you have about that. But you've already given it up, so if you've given it up, then part of your moving toward what you want may be for both of you all to be in a relationship that you both feel more love in and recognize love. Because if obviously the love was being recognized, then there would be no need for the breakup. You know what I'm saying? But what it means is that you learned as much as you could from each other at this time, and now you're appearing to separate, because all relationships are destined to become real and holy. It's just that right now you pretty much have learned as much as you can from each other. And then our society makes you feel like something's wrong with you if you can't hang on to one relationship a lifetime. And really, lifelong relationships, we all know from our experience, are very rare. It's very rare you have a lifelong experience with anybody. So it's really much more normal to come together, learn, have an intense teaching learning situation with each other, and then appear to separate. So it's not about feeling guilty about relationships that didn't last. It's just about knowing that you learned as much as you could from each other at that time. And now it's time for you to learn in another relationship. Maybe one that's more in line with who you are now. And that's not condemning that other person, but it just might mean that you're moving in another direction right now. And they are too. But the pain comes from clinging. You know, the pain comes from trying to hold on to it that wants to serve this purpose. That's why the pain is located. Because I've been looking at you do a lot of work on yourself spiritually. So it makes a lot of sense to me that you start to have changes in your external reality to reflect the changes in yourself. And sometimes that'll look like the relationships change. Just like I said tonight about, I had a consciousness shift today, and so I knew when I came to the class tonight that there would probably be a difference in the class. There'd probably be less people. It would probably be different people than usual. That, you know, after a while, you start to learn how your own pattern works when you make shifts. And so I really feel like you're being opened up to something even greater than you deserve. And I also feel like the other person is too. That you start to love each other enough and love yourselves enough to not keep yourself in constant conflict. You know what I mean? Because if two people really want to heal, they will. if both people really want to stay together and heal, and both people want that, they will. And how could they not succeed if both of them want to do it? You know, sometimes we hold on to things far beyond where they serve their purpose. You know, and you may be achieving your goal, not being a failure at all. I'd like to side with that idea.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got a choice. I'd rather go with the one that's saying that since this is a fact, we have broken up, this is happening. I'd rather go with the idea that somehow or another that's serving me. Because that's a fact. It's happened. We've broken up. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people going, I don't know what happened after you died. That's true. Nobody knows for sure. You know, there are a lot of great theories and everything. But, you know, until you go through that door, that's when you find out. But, so I got two choices right now on the other side of it. I can either have a perception of it that increases my idea of love and oneness and God and truth, or I could have an idea of it that I use to scare myself in some way. But I don't know at the level of the body. I don't know. So that's what it looks like. It's boiling down. It's like, am I going to choose for love or am I going to choose for peace? Am I going to choose for peace or am I going to choose for conflict? Am I going to choose for guilt or am I going to choose for innocence? And there's a group of people that go with each one of those, and there's a reality that goes with each one of those. That's what's so cool. That's, to me, that's the good news. Mm-hmm. That means I'm not trapped. I have a choice. Mm-hmm. Everybody in here does. Mm-hmm. And how much you love yourself determines whether or not you're going to love yourself enough to allow love into your life, because it's real. It's real. And that's what you deserve. That's what I'm aside with. That's what you all deserve, and that's what I deserve.
The question about vengeance is mine, save the Lord.
Yeah.
One of my favorite thoughts. Because I think I do align with it, that if there's something wrong, it needs to be righted. I was kind of delighted at the indictments. In my own mind, I thought, oh, good, punishment. They're going to correct the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually feels socially right. Things have been found out and fixed and punished.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think that's not meant to be that way. I think we're not supposed to align ourselves with the punishers. I'd like to understand how it works with the Holy Spirit.
And you will. And this particular curriculum is talking about the perception that you have towards yourself. You know, it's about, do you want, when you make a mistake, do you want to be corrected or do you want to be punished?
I prefer correction.
Okay. And most people do, but for everybody else, they want punishment.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like when I do something wrong, you know, give me a break, help me out, have a little mercy on me. But when somebody else does something, I just want them to be punished. And it's interesting to recognize that whatever I want for you is what I'm asking for. Because if I can apply it to you, then it must be okay for me too. So what I want for you is what I want for me. What I want for you is what I'm asking for me. And I feel like I leave it up to the universe, I leave it up to Creator to take care of that person's punishment or correction or whatever they need. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to get personally invested in it. I want to trust that which created us to deal with them. And then I want to try to be as loving as I can possibly be. That's what it boils down to now. It's for me. Is that, you know, the only person on this planet that I look like I have any kind of influence over, even though that may be an illusion at some level I might find out one day, is me. Is me. So I want to be what I want to have. I want to be what I want to have. I want to be what I want to have. And I need help. And I need help. I need instruction. Don't you?
Yeah.
I do. I do. And I'm so glad I have it. So I want to really support everybody in following the path of heart. Follow your own path. What is it that moves you? What motivates you? What is your spirit? How does your spirit speak to you? That's I trust you. I trust that you have the power within you to get in touch with that. I don't see you as weak. He says, you need not fear the higher court will condemn you. It will merely dismiss the case against you. There can be no case against the child of God. And every witness to guilt in God's creation is bearing false witness to God himself. So appeal everything you believe gladly to God's own higher court. Because God's own higher court speaks for God and therefore speaks truly. God's higher court will dismiss the case against you, however carefully you build it up. The case may be foolproof, but it's not God-proof.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit will not hear the case against you because the Holy Spirit can only witness truly. So God's verdict will always be thine is the kingdom, because Holy Spirit was given to you to remind you of what you are. A beautiful paragraph.
He has given to you to remind you what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that from my side, and I want to believe that from my ex partner.
Mm-hmm.
But when they falsify documents, and I want to bring that love of God on him. But I don't know how to love him like God would love him.
Put him at the end of the line. Start with, can I keep my peace if a person take my parking space?
Thank you.
And then work up to the person that you feel like swindled you. You know what I'm saying? Because starting with the hardest person is just a trick to keep you from trying to apply the ideas at all.
Okay.
Because your mind will say, what's the point? That's too big. That's too much. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. I would suggest, this is just suggestions. Like I said, it's like most of the things that we come up with in our minds are just tricks to keep us from applying the truth that we could apply right now. You know what I mean? I could try to be more kind and loving to you right now. And anything I tell myself to keep me from being that way with you is just something to keep me from being more loving to you right now. So, yeah, I could go back to what my father didn't do when I was a little boy. Or I could be more kind and loving to you right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let me be peaceful and loving to who is in my face and present themselves to me right now. Because all these other people are just things I'm telling myself to keep me from being willing to be loving right now, you know. Yeah.
This is not time yet for that one.
Just kind of, because it ain't God's hands anyway. It's not your responsibility. Give it away. But what you brought up was what most of us use to keep the love away. It's agreements towards somebody else.
I don't want it. It's like a scab.
You're conscious enough to even realize it's a scab that you don't want. That puts you way ahead of a lot of people. A lot of people pride themselves in how long they can stay upset.
No, I really want
to. You know what I'm saying? It's like they think that's a badge of courage. I just now make sure I never forget that sucker for the rest of my life. You know, it's like, okay, you want to raise your blood pressure and kill your body and,
no,
you know,
really
all that stuff.
I think God hurts when his children are hurting, I think.
Yeah. But just give him to God.
Okay.
You know, the Course says a really beautiful thing. It says, you know, we always want to give us to God, and we want to give our problems to God, and we want to give who we are to God, but we won't do that toward nobody else. It's like, I want to give me to God, and I want to give my problems to God, but then I think it's my personal responsibility to solve yours. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, why is it my personal responsibility to solve yours? It's like, if I want to give mine to a higher power, I need to start giving you to a higher power, and I need to start asking the higher power how I should relate to you. But it's not my personal responsibility to save your soul other than to be an example of how a loving person is supposed to be. It's like if I let myself be happy and I'll start to share and give out of my happiness and my creativity and my love, that's the greatest teaching that I could possibly do for anybody, would be for them to see a person who's not angry all the time, who's not blaming all the time, who's not miserable all the time. Then they'll know it's possible. But I'm also be forgiven with myself if I can't pull it off all the time, because I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I don't try to pretend because I teach the Course in Miracles that I don't have ego thoughts and feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I do. I just have tools I've been working on a long time to help me deal with them when they come up. But they're going to still come up because you see me. As long as you see me. I'm also learning just like you are. You know, so if you can see me, then I'm learning too. You know. So that answer that question is whether or not we equals. But what I do see a difference, if I see a difference at all, it's in my willingness to apply the truth to the situation versus somebody not being willing to apply the truth to the situation. That's the difference. My willingness to practice the tools, my willingness to use the tools. But I'm glad I get a chance to sit up here for an hour and tell you how loved you are, even though you may not know it.
Thank you.
I'm glad. And it don't matter to me whether you believe me either. Because, you know, you don't have to believe something for it to be true. It's another funny belief that people have. You know, it's not true unless you believe it. It's just as true whether you believe it or not. Which is that you're loved, and you're powerful, and you're unlimited, and you're a creator, and you deserve to be happy, and you make mistakes, and those mistakes can be corrected, that there's a part of your nature that's eternal, that you are loved, that you are an extension of love, that you're not a victim of the world that you see. It doesn't matter whether you believe that. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. So I can be patient with you because I already know how it's going to turn out, because I know who's behind it. What created you is behind it. Not me. Not me. Boy, that feels so good not to have that personal responsibility. Yeah. When I say that I have come as a light into the world, I meant that I came to share the light with you. Remember my reference to the ego's dark glass, and remember also I said, do not look there. It's still true that where you look to find yourself is up to you. Your patience with your brother is your patience with yourself. Your patience with your brother is your patience with yourself. Isn't a child of God worth patience? I've shown you infinite patience because my will is that of our Father, from whom I learned of infinite patience. God's voice was in me as God's voice is in you, speaking for patience toward the sonship in the name of its creator. So the voice for God is telling me to be patient. Love is telling me to be patient. And the Course says you can be patient when you're certain of the outcome, and you can be patient when you have an abundant willingness to learn. So the more I realize that I am loved by that which created me, and that which has created me is what's guiding me, the more patient I'll be about the whole process. But I get impatient when I think I'm the one that's supposed to do the whole process by myself, and then I don't even know how to do it. But I'm responsible for everything, but I don't really know what to do. So that's going to really make me feel really peaceful, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and the Course is saying the more you heal your sense of separation from the Creator, then the more patient you're going to be, because the more certain you're going to be of the outcome, which is your own salvation, your own healing, the fact that you're loved.
The thing with patience, though, it feels like you're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, okay, I got to heal this. I got to heal fast.
Right. Right. He said infinite patience produces immediate effects. Infinite patience produces immediate effects. Because think about it for a minute. What blocks manifestations? Fear does. And if you have an infinite patience, then you're not in a state of fear. So there's nothing to block the manifestation. You're in a state of peace. There's nothing to block it. I'm okay. I got infinite patience. Because I know how it's going to turn out.
So that's why a miracle is about saving time.
Right, because it gives you infinite patience. Yeah. And then that saves a lot of time.
If you start seeing everyone as holy no matter what they do, you don't waste the time making mistakes and correcting.
And seeing them holy no matter what they do doesn't mean that what they do is not something that needs to be corrected.
It's just not for us to correct.
If there's something for you to do, you'll be told. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what's so cool. It's like, if there is a role for me to play in your life, Spirit will guide me. And in most cases, I won't even realize when I'm being used. And that's the most purest form of my service, is when I'm being used for someone's good, and I don't even really realize it, which means my ego is not even getting in it. You know? Have you ever had someone say to you that you said or did something that made a big difference in their life, and you go, what? What did I do? You know, and then so many situations where you decided you was going to be the one to save somebody that got really more messed up than the world before you even got involved. You know, but that was the, of course, as a consciousness elected miracle can be misguided. You know, I think I'm going to help you. Yeah, you need my help, Doug, so I'm going to really save you right now. See, that's I'm already in my ego right there. Because I didn't even ask Spirit if I even should say anything. It's wild.
You didn't even know you needed saved, did you?
No, I knew. That's why he picked me up.
Anybody else have a thought about that paragraph before we do the last one in that section? I love that line, "Is not a child of God worth infinite patience, and my patience with you is my patience with myself, because you are part of me and I am part of you. We are one. So if I'm patient with you, I am being patient with me." You know, I know it looks like there's a bunch of different bodies in here, there's a bunch of different folk with their own ego, but the truth is, there's one of us here. We're part of the same whatever it is. It's just one of us.
So is that why when you said our relationships are destined to be holy relationships?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you meant?
Yeah, because we're all one anyway, and we're all going back to our awareness of our oneness and love. And so, sooner or later, I'm going to forgive and have a totally peaceful mind. So sooner or later, me and you going to... See, for me to have a holy relationship with you, it doesn't mean I got to call you up on the telephone, and then I got to take you out to lunch, and then me and you going to try to forgive each other. Even though that's cool if you get with somebody else that's willing to do that with you. But it really is about you changing your heart and changing your mind about that person. Through having a new perception of them. And that doesn't have anything to do with their cooperation. It doesn't take anybody else's cooperation for you to forgive them. It's only my ego that needs the stroke of them turning around and telling me how much they like me now. So that's just my ego. But the truth is, I've let go of the separation and the grievance and the anger I have toward you. I have forgiven you. I'm choosing for peace with you now. I have forgiven you. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm not trying to block your happiness. I haven't got a hidden man waiting outside your door. I have forgiven you. So I don't have to call you up on the phone to forgive you. I don't have to make sure you accept my forgiveness for me to forgive you. See what I mean? It's a perceptual change for me about you and about me. That's the easy way. But if you go, well, I got to get with that person, and then they got to want to get with me, and then they got to want to forgive, and then we got to process everything until we do forgive. Mm-hmm. That's a long, drawn-out process. Especially if they don't even want to forgive you. And you know what I'm saying? You know, you want to, but they don't want to. Well, okay, I'll just go ahead and do it. How about that? As far as I'm concerned, I release this grievance against you. I want you to have peace in your life. I'm moving on with my life. And hopefully one day you choose to do that too. But I'm not going to wait for you to decide to forgive me. I'm going to forgive you. These aren't very popular ideas with the mind that wants to hold a grievance. It's not. What I'm saying is not popular with the mind that wants to hold a grievance. And I know that, but I don't care.
I like that thing in this paragraph. Mm-hmm. Not look there.
Talking about the dark glass?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look in the ego's dark glass.
Sometimes I'll get caught up in worrying about something, and I forget that's, don't look there. I look mm-hmm. up there.
The Course says that what's the trip about darkness is that when you're in darkness, you can't see anything, and so you make up stuff that you're looking at. And I thought that was really interesting. That's why I said, don't look in the fierce dark glass, because I'm not really seeing you. I'm just seeing my thoughts about you. So I'm really not seeing you. I'm just seeing, if I'm mad at you, if I'm upset about you, I'm not seeing you. I'm just seeing I'm seeing my reaction to you. That's all I'm seeing is my reaction to you.
That's why my favorite prayer is, Holy Spirit, I wish to see this differently.
Absolutely. I do too. I want to see all of this differently.
Yes,
you
do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This next paragraph is the one that deals with patience, that talks about the infinite patience. He says, now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. Infinite patience produces immediate effects. This is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience calls upon infinite love. And by producing results now, infinite patience renders time unnecessary. By giving you results right now, then time is unnecessary, because why do I need time when I'm having the result I want right now? Because usually I want time so that I can get the result. But if I have the result, then time now becomes unnecessary. So it's almost like it's trying to move us to an experience where we get results now, and then we get results now, and then we get results now, and then we get results now. That's eternity. I'm getting results now. So now is the closest approximation to eternity that we can experience in the body. The one thing that we all have all the time, and that we've had as long as we've been here, is a now. Every one of us have always had a right now. Our body might have been younger. We might have been in another place, but I bet you 2 hours from now, I bet everybody in here is going to be in a now. So eternity is now. This is the closest I'm going to get to eternity in the body, is I'm right here with you right now, and then I'm going to have another experience of another now, then I'm going to have another experience of another now.
But it's easier to live in those nows when you're living in that not stop down here.
Exactly.
Well, you know what?
Same thing.
You know what?
Whether
you're
living in your van or whether you're living in that 5,000-foot home, you know, it's a big difference on how to have that peace.
The trick is to tell yourself you can't have the peace until you're in the 5,000-foot house. See, that's when your ego gets you every time. Every time you make your peace, I'm not even in that position,
but I'm just saying quality of life, just a, you know, that, you know.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to keep going back to what the Course is saying. And what the Course is saying, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying you're in a Course in Miracles class, so I feel like I just need to say what the Course said. And that's okay, that's what I try to really get across to people. I'm never disagreeing with your point of view, or saying that your point of view is valid. It's just that I feel like in a Course class, what people want to hear is, you know, what the Course says about it, right? Am I wrong in that?
Right.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that what it says is that your peace has nothing to do with anything outside of yourself at all. That your peace comes from within. That our peace comes from within, from our relationship to the Creator, from our relationship to love. And every time I set it up, that my peace comes more from something outside of myself, I'm taking my own power away. I'm weakening myself in my own. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't enjoy being in an air-conditioned house and it's 100 degrees more so than being outside. But the trick is to know that your peace, that you could have peace whether it's 7 degrees outside or whether it's 105, that it's possible for you to still have peace no matter what. And when you have peace, he says you can hear your inner guide. And when you're inner guide, you'll be told what to do from moment to moment by spirit. Because you can hear your spiritual guidance when you're not in constant fear and conflict. So that's just, I'm going to keep steering it back to this. No matter what, you know, is that you're not alone and that you got guidance inside of you. And the more that your old mind can keep you focused outside of yourself and not going within to follow your own inner guidance, that's what perpetuates the fear and conflict. That's the real reason for the fear and conflict.
What's the real reason for the fear and conflict?
My looking outside of myself and not realizing that it's my relationship to Source and getting in touch with Source, God, whatever word you want to use, that's the key to my inner peace, that it comes from within, from making that contact with Source within.
And I want you to know that I hear what you're saying, because I was thinking of people in war who have been taken as war prisoners and how they survived because they had that connection with spirit. They didn't look at the horrendous actions that were against them.
Somehow or another, the one who maintained their sanity had to be the one that was learning another way to look at being in captivity.
Right.
So ultimately, that person kept their peace because for some reason they were in that hellacious situation, able to see it in such a way that they maintained their sanity, which is just what you're saying. It's a great example of how peace is within, comes from within. Because all of us know people who can seem to have every material advantage that you could possibly imagine, and they're totally miserable. And then some of us know people who have a lot of material advantages, I do, who are happy. And I also know people who seem like they don't have a lot of material things, and they're bitching and complaining all the time and miserable. And then I also know people who don't have a lot of material things, and they're totally completely cooled out and peaceful. So, you know, that old line about, well, they might be rich, but they're not really happy, that's not true. There's a lot of rich folk that's happy. It's just, that was like a line Popo made up to try to feel better about being poor. They might not have it, but they not have it as I am, you know. Not poverty, you know. And then there's some people who have very little material things, and they're rich as they can possibly be. I consider myself to be one of those people. Yeah, I feel in my gut that the blessings that I have in my life make me as wealthy as anybody you could possibly ever imagine. But I don't feel like I'm in a lesser person because I'm not driving the latest car. But at the same time, I ain't turning down no key to no Jaguar either. I'm going to go, thank you. Because the divine Jaguar is going to be one that I'm driving that I'm not worried about.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. You know, the divine house is the one that I'm in, that I'm having peace in.
It's probably in the, you know. Maybe you can tell me this. So, we're in the Bible where it says you have to be content wherever you are. So, I guess that's what this is all about.
It's learning how to be content no matter where you are. The funny thing about it, though, it's very difficult to stay in a totally peaceful state of mind and not create a reality at some point that reflects that. You know, they just kind of go together. It's like the more peaceful and loving you become for real, then it seems like the more your environment starts to conform to that, and you start to meet really cool people, and you start to draw in really cool situations and circumstances to yourself. And you know, that's what I love about it. It's like if you really go to that peaceful state of mind, whatever that conflict you were having, it's not going to last if you stay in a peaceful state of mind anyway. It's not going to last. It's going to change. And that feels so good to know. That feels so good to know.
Feels good when it happens.
So, let me finish this paragraph, and then we're making some good time. Okay, this is cool. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep on telling y'all over and over again, you love to deserve to be loved. I don't care how many ways you come at me, I'm going to still come back at you with you deserve to be happy, and you deserve to be loved. Period. And even the people you hate do. Okay, sorry. Even the people that we don't like, you know, they deserve healing too. They deserve help. They do. He says, now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. This is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience, what calls upon infinite love, and by producing results now, infinite patience renders time unnecessary. We have repeatedly said that time is a learning device to be abolished when time is no longer useful. To the Holy Spirit, which is the part of you that speaks for God in time, that part of you also knows that time is meaningless. And so the part of you that speaks for God, Holy Spirit, reminds you of this, that time is meaningless in every passing moment of time because it is the Holy Spirit's function. It is your inner guide's special function. It is your inner guide's special function to return you to eternity and remain to bless your creations there. The Holy Spirit, which is the part of you who speaks for God in time, is the only blessing you can give. Because the Holy Spirit, the part of you that speaks for God in time, is truly blessed. Because Holy Spirit has been given you freely by God, you must give the Holy Spirit. You must give the part who speaks for God in time. You must give the love as you receive the love. You must give it as you receive it because it was given to you. So that paragraph was incredible. It was letting you know that we are using time as a device to learn the truth about ourselves until we don't need no more time to learn the truth about ourselves. And that the only blessing that I can really give you is to see that part of God in you that also is God in you. And they're speaking for love for you in time. That I want to do everything I can to support you getting in touch with the truth that is in you. That's the greatest gift I can give you, is to support you in being the love that you are. How? By not attacking you myself. By not trying to deceive you myself. By wanting to be a reminder of your innocence myself. That's what a Savior does. A Savior doesn't let you forget that you are not alone. A Savior doesn't let you forget that you got help and that you are loved. And so I got infinite patience with the people in the room simply because I'm not in charge of the process. And I trust that who is in charge of the process knows what it's doing and it's going to succeed. And it's going to let me know whatever it is I need to do to help out in the process. And I know when my Creator is guiding me, because what I will be doing will be fulfilling to me as it helps you. So as I'm sacrificing, I'll be helping you, but I'll be feeling good about it.
Yeah.
What I'll be doing for you will absolutely be fulfilling to me. Because that's what it says. Now again, we don't have to agree with that. But I would much rather side with the idea that my function and my happiness are the same thing than to believe that my function here on earth is to do everything I don't want to do every day till I die to become stronger.
Yeah.
Endure.
Those are the two choices available for me. I can learn my lessons through joy, or I can learn my lessons through pain. Some people believe that sacrifice and love, and the more that they punish themselves and the more they struggle, the stronger they become. No pain, no gain. That is one school of thought. But there's another cooler school of thought that says that you can learn through joy. That what you're doing is bringing you so much joy that you want to keep on doing it and you want to learn more about how to do it. I like that one, personally. You know, I want to learn through the joy. I want to be helpful, but I want to be joyous.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I do.
Me too. You don't have to say you're sorry because you're not.
You know, that's what came out of me at that time. Okay. No, the reason why I say this is because it's very interesting that the idea of love and being loved doesn't seem a lot of times to be as exciting as it would seem like it would be.
Sometimes it almost seems trite. I mean, like, because everybody talks about it. Unconditional love, and that silly Eagles song, "Love Will Keep Us Alive." All this stuff. It's almost like I have to stop and think in order to comprehend the magnificence of what that means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I trivialize it.
And I want to be in a world where that is the way we look at each other. And I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with you. You know. So I'm going to stop here. And thank you for, again, giving me an opportunity to share with you what I don't want to forget. I really appreciate that. Absolutely. We're going to do the love offering. And thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the Course and with Unity Temple. You all are incredible beings. And I trust your ability to get in touch with your truths for yourself. And if there's any way I can support you in doing that, that's not a sacrifice for me, I'd be glad to. I promise you. Yeah, I mean that. Because sacrifice isn't love, it's attack. You know, it's the root of bitter resentment. And so I don't want people doing stuff for me out of a sense of resentment. At all. It's not a gift, you know. So thank you for sharing. I'm going to pass this around. I really appreciate that. It's very important. I'm going to be speaking at Rocky Mountain Miracle Center at 11 o'clock for the 11 o'clock service at Bucktail and Monroe. If you're out south, it would be great if you came on next Sunday on the 6th. Bucktail and Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'll be back here at 1 o'clock for the 1 o'clock class. And then we got another one y'all know on Wednesdays at 12 noon. And we've been really getting down. Continue to read. If you get a chance, read the section. Thank you. Read the section called Decision for God. So that when we go over it in the class, you know, if you'll be a little bit familiar with it, and you make it easier to accept it and to go down. Okay? Got it? Okay, so let's just close our eyes just for a second and just relax. So just try to remember that infinite patience produces immediate effects. 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 And so infinite patience comes from being certain of the outcome. And so you know that your Creator has infinite power. And so there is no way that if it's God's will that you recognize the truth about yourself and that you have that oneness with yourself, God, and us, it's no way that God cannot succeed. So there's no doubt that you will experience the love that you deserve to experience as a child of an infinite love. And remember, as you sow, so shall ye reap, means whatever you feel is worth cultivating, you want to cultivate it in yourself. Whatever you want to sow, you have to cultivate it in yourself. Whatever you want to reap, you have to cultivate it in yourself. And love is in you. It may just be blocked by your perceptions of yourself that you've learned from the experiences that you've had in the past. And right now is your point of power. The present is the point of power. Nothing can touch you from out of your past, and nothing can touch you from out of the future, because right now is a clean, untarnished instant that you can claim your power in. So, as you go back out in the lab, I'd like to say, may the course be with you.
Good class,
appreciate y'all. You. Appreciate y'all. Y'all awesome. I acknowledge you for being you. I'd like to get you to acknowledge you.
Yeah.
You know, pretend it's a Broncos game or something, you know? Yeah. They had that same kind of enthusiasm about our light as we do about football. We'd be on top of it. The whole world would transform tomorrow. It'd be amazing, you know.
Girl, I just want to thank you for making your CDs, because I listen to them all the time.
You know, me too.
I heard you today.
Me too.
Twice.
Me too.
And it helped me so much.
Because it's easy to forget. This is so different from the way that the mind normally operates that it's so easy that when you walk out of the room to just forget.